great privilege of introducing my father, Brett Bissonard. Joe was home a couple weeks ago. My father was here. We were celebrating the Bris, of course, on the Buddha. He gave the shear then, the freedom of the shear. Gave me a break, I guess. Received so well, we decided to invite my father back. My father would be a long-term rub. The foundation is over mortified. And also the author of the editor of Yitzhak Svarm Bate Yosef, which are programs of salvation on the Moedim, points to Shulchan Aruch. And if you're looking at a copy for at home, I have one around, and they're available purchased online. And this morning we'll probably be speaking about the Rosh Hashanah Musaf, davening particularly the thought of the salvation.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody, and thank you for coming. As we approach Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah, we know just less than a week away, next Shabbos and Sunday, Be'ez Hashem. I'd like to learn with you this morning a Mishnah and a few lines from the Gemara in the fourth parak of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, which you have in front of you if you want to use the sheets. The front side has the photocopy of the page of the Gemara. And as we'll see, the lines in the Gemara are rather puzzling at first glance, difficult to understand what the Gemara is driving at. But this morning, as my son Rabbi Yaakov just mentioned, I try and share an insight from Rabbi Yosef Soloveitchik, the Rav Zichron Levracha, that will help us not only solve the difficulty of the Gemara, but I hope will be able to enhance our understanding of the structure of the Musaf Shmona Esrei on Rosh Hashanah, which we'll recite Be'ez Hashem both next Shabbos and next Sunday. The Musaf Shmona Esrei of Rosh Hashanah is a unique Shmona Esrei. There's no parallel to it in any other Shmona Esrei that we say at any time during the year. It's a special Shmona Esrei. And it's special because it contains within it three special brachas recited only on Rosh Hashanah. And those are the brachas, as many of us know, called Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. Malchios, which means kingship, describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu being the king of the whole universe. Zichronos, which means memory, remembering, highlights the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is aware of everything that goes on in the entire universe and holds people and nations accountable for their behavior. And shofros, of course, psukim relating to the shofar, theme relating to the shofar. Malchios, Zichronos, and shofros, those are the three special brachas recited only on Rosh Hashanah, no other time during the course of the year. And that's why I said that the Shmona Esrei on Rosh Hashanah, in this regard, is unique, has no parallel any other place, any other time. As a side point, some of you may have heard of Rabbi Yosef Albo, who was a major medieval Jewish philosopher, and so we know that the Rambam famously presented 13 Ikari Emuna, 13 cardinal principles of our faith. Many Siddurim print after Shacharis the 13 Ani Mamins, which is based on Rambam. Presumably did not write the Ani Mamins, the text that we have. One authority thought that he wrote it, but not, I think, accepted that he wrote the text of the Ani Mamin. But their Ani Mamins are based on what the Rambam does present in his introduction to his commentary on the Mishnah in 10th Perek of Masechta Sanhedrin, Perek Chelek. The Rambam outlines 13 cardinal principles we have to believe in as a Jew, the 13 Ani Mamins. Rabbi Yosef Albo narrowed it down to basically three major beliefs, three things we have to believe in. Not that he disagrees with the others, but he narrowed it down to three things. One is the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the master of the universe. Two is the notion of Schar Va'onesh, accountability, reward and punishment. And three, the idea of divine revelation, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself to man. He points out that that's exactly what Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros are all about. They present the three basic beliefs of a Jew. Malchios, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the king, the master of the entire universe, and so on. Zichronos, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers everything, is aware of everything, and acts accordingly, meaning that he's still involved in the world. He rewards those who deserve reward, punishes those who deserve punishment, accountability. That's as opposed to what's known in philosophy sometimes as the watchmaker theory. You know, there are people who believe that there is a God who created the world. Difficult to deny the idea from a scientific perspective. If I have a watch, so the watch didn't just happen that there were hundreds or thousands, whatever, is a piece of metal on the table, and then someone banged into the table and all the pieces fell down. It happened to fall in such a way that it's a functioning watch. I guess it's possible. It is possible. I mean, it's possible. I don't know what the mathematical odds of that happening. It could happen, but we understand that obviously if you have a watch, it works. It's because somebody made the watch. Okay, so therefore, if we have a universe, a world that functions the way it does, obviously there was a person or being that designed it. However, I can assure you that I have absolutely no idea who made my watch. I couldn't care less. And I'm sure he has absolutely no idea who now has that watch. He couldn't care less. So there are those who believe that there is a God that created the universe, but then he left, or he's doing something else, or whatever it was. It has nothing to do with the world anymore. We don't believe that. We believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only created the universe, but he's still actively involved. And again, that's the idea of Zichronos, that he still is aware of what we're doing, and it matters what we're doing, and we, you know, hold us accountable and so on. And so that's cardinal belief number two that Yosef Albo had. And the third one, divine revelation, the shofar represents divine revelation. The shofar accompanied Baruch Hu's appearance at Har Sinai and the Beis HaMikdash, and we believe in the future, the coming revelation and so on will be accompanied by a shofar. So that's the Yosef Albo's three themes of Kosh Baruch Hu being the king of the universe, Kosh Baruch Hu being aware of everything and holding us accountable for act, and a Kosh Baruch Hu revealing himself to man, exactly what Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofaros are all about. Okay. So I'd like to look at the Mishnah on the top of the page, top line in that Gemara, Lamed Beis, and Aleph. You don't have to follow along, but if it helps you, you know, it's fine. The Mishnah begins by saying, Seder Brachos. Here is the order of the Brachos in the Shemona Esrei on Rosh Hashanah. Now notice, by the way, that the Mishnah does not say this is only for Musaf. In fact, there is one opinion, one authority, the Baal Hamor, is of the opinion that this special Shemona Esrei with Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofaros is to be recited at all the Shemona Esreis of Rosh Hashanah, not just at Musaf. Ma'ariv, Shacharis, Musaf, and Mincha. Luckily, we don't paskin that way. Otherwise, the davening Rosh Hashanah would be even longer. I'm not sure what time they finish here, but, you know, it would be even longer if we imagine we did it in Shacharis too. We'd have to come back early for Mincha. We get back later for Ma'ariv and so on. But we don't paskin like the Baal Hamor. We do it only at Musaf. It's connected to Shofar. Okay, so the Mishnah says Seder Brachos. Now, before we even read the rest of the Mishnah, one word of background, which you all know, but just hopefully it'll put things into context. Every Shemona Esrei that we ever say during the course of the year, Shabbos, Yontif, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, holidays, a week, Mincha in March, Ma'ariv in November, that doesn't matter. Every Shemona Esrei always begins with the same three beginning brachos and concludes with the same three concluding brachos. Sometimes there are insert phrases here and there. So, for example, we now are saying Morid Atal, those who say it, or during the winter we say Mashal Morid Geshem, or in the concluding three brachas, if it's a holiday or Shosh Chodesh, we insert Yalav Yavo, we say Al Nisim, it's Chanukah and Purim. But basically, it's the same first three brachas and the same last three brachas, right? What's different is what's in the middle. On a regular weekday, as we said this morning, you have in the middle of the first three at the beginning, the last three at the end, you have actually 13 brachas of request, bakoshas, okay, different requests for all kinds of different things, for wisdom, for health, and for building Yerushalayim, and all kinds of things, right? 13 brachas, for a grand total of 19. Why it's still called the Shemona Esrei, which means 18, it's an interesting question, okay? The name stuck, it used to be 18. Mar explains that another bracha was added a little bit later, for other reasons, not for today, but the name stuck. You know, certain times the name of something sticks. You know, it's difficult for people to change the name. So, like, you know, when you cut yourself, you put on a Band-Aid, right? But the Band-Aid is actually a company name, right? It's called, I think, adhesive, something, I don't know what it's called, something like that. But everybody calls it a Band-Aid. Okay, certain things, it's the name stuck, even when it's not that name anymore. Xerox became a verb, right? Xerox something. It's a company name, right? They call it, huh? Kleenex, Frigidaire, many things which were companies became. Okay, so even though it's manufactured by somebody else, the other name stuck. Okay, so we'll have the same thing here. Anyway, so the name Shemona Esrei. Good. So you have the first three brachas, the last three brachas. Then on a weekday, where the Shachar is Minchor Ma'ariv, you have these middle 13 brachas. Okay, various requests. On Shabbos, think back to yesterday, we don't say those middle 13 brachas. Instead, we say one bracha. It's a long, it's a couple of paragraphs. We say one bracha about Shabbos. Okay, so, about Shabbos. That ends Baruchat Hashem, Mekadosh Shabbos. On Yontif, a couple weeks it'll be Sukkot. So on Yontif, we say a middle bracha about Yontif, mentioning Sukkot. Atav v'chartan v'kal amim, and so on. Batite, and Oshem, Yom Chag HaSukkot, Zez Man Simcha Seinu, and so on. And it ends Mekadosh Yisroel v'azmanim. Right, so there are actually a total of seven brachas. We still call this one, I say. But there are only seven brachas on Yontif and on Shabbos, because you don't have the 13 requests in the middle. You have the same first three, the same last three, just that one in the middle that has to do with the day, whether it's Shabbos or it's Yontif and so on. So what about on Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah, as we mentioned, you have these three special brachas of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofars. So the Mishnah tells us now the following. Seder brachos. Here we go. Omer Avos. You say the bracha of Avos. That's the first bracha of this monastery. It's nicknamed Avos. Because it begins, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, right? Our Avos. And it ends, Bracha Tashamog and Avram. So that's the bracha called Avos. Good. Then, number two, Ugvuros. The second bracha, Kadosh Baruch Hu is my Ato Gibor, begins. Right after Gibor, Lelom Hashem, Gvuros, ends with a great power of Kadosh Baruch Hu is Mechaya Mesim, and revive the dead. Okay, that's the second bracha called Gvuros. And the third bracha is called Kedushas Hashem, about the sanctity of God's name. Ato Kadosh, Vishimcha Kadosh. Right, that's the third bracha. So that's the same as any other time. But now the Mishnah goes on, V'kolel Malchios Imahen. You insert the bracha of Malchios there in that third bracha of Kedushas Hashem. Okay, the Kedushas Hashem bracha is usually the shortest bracha in this monastery. Ata Kadosh v'Kadosh v'Kadosh v'Chol Yom v'Chzel v'Chol Hashem v'Kel HaKadosh. One liner. Okay, but according to this opinion, which we'll see is identified as that of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, one of the Tanoim, he holds you insert Malchios, you combine Malchios with the bracha of Kedushas Hashem. Okay. Ve'eno tokeh. Then he says, you do not blow shofar at that point. Now, as you know, we blow shofar in the Shmona Esrei. Most Ashkenazic shuls blow shofar only in the Chazoros Hashatz. Okay? Those Davenus of Sfar, there are others, will blow in the Psalms Shmona Esrei as well. What's the meaning here? Just the Chazoros Hashatz, I presume. That's most Ashkenazic shuls. Okay. But in any event, according to this opinion, you say the Brach of Avos, the Brach of Guros, then Kedushas Hashem combined with Malchios. That's special for Rosh Hashanah, the way we pass in Rosh Hashanah Musaf. And Ve'ena Tokev, you don't blow shofar. Okay. Then you say Kedushas Hayom. Kedushas Hayom is the bracha for Yontif. After all, Rosh Hashanah is Yontif. It's a Yontif. So we say, Ato v'char tanu mikol ha'amim, and so on, v'atitem l'shev v'kenes, yom ha'zikar na'zeh, u'mipnei chato inu golinu ma'artzeinu, and if a Musaf tanu mentioned the karbonus, right? Think about yesterday, Shabbos. Tikanta, Shabbos is still coming to say, etc., right? A middle bracha. And we mentioned the psukim that speak about, we'll bring the karbonos, we say the psukim about the korban. Yom HaShabbos, Shnei Chavosim, and Eishon HaTamimim, right? We speak about the psukim of the karbonos. So on Rosh Hashanah, we speak about the psukim of the karbonos, Musaf for Rosh Hashanah. V'chodesh Hashri, V'echad L'chodesh, that's the psukim from Parshas Pinchas. That's the bracha called Kedushas Hayom. Not to be confused, because it's a shame. Kedushas Hashem was about Hashem being holy, after Kodesh Mekodesh, but Kedushas Hayom is about the sanctity of the day that we're observing. So if it's a Shabbos, it ends Mekadesh Shabbos. If it's Yontif, it ends Mekadesh Yisrael Azmanim. If it's Rosh Hashanah, it ends Mekadesh Yisrael V'Yom HaZikaron. Okay, that's the bracha of Kedushas Hayom, which again, like any other Shabbos or Yontif. Then V'Tokeya, you blow shofar at that point. Okay, what sounds you blow? That's for sure a different time. Okay, you invite me back, we'll talk about that another time. Okay, but you blow shofar, good. Then Zichronos, then you say Zichronos, the Tokeya, and you blow shofar a second time. Then Shofros, the Tokeya, you say the extra special bracha of shofars, and you sound the shofar. And then Omer Avoda, then you conclude with the regular three concluding brachas. Avoda, that's the bracha that starts with say. Ritzei Hashem al-Kenim Amchayis al-Ovah, Sheves Havoda, V'vir Be'secha, and so on. Baruch HaTashem, Machzi Shkonas al-Tziyom, that's Havoda. Then Hoda'a, that's what we call Modim. Right, we can start with Modim and Achduloch, and ends Baruch HaTashem, Tov Shimcha, Ucha No'eh, Lehodos. And then Birchas Konim, that Birchas Konim is in the Chazos HaShat, but it leads into the last bracha, Sim Shalom, because Birchas Konim ends B'yosem Lecha Shalom, Sim Shalom, or V'samo Shmiel B'nei Tzavad Erochim, Sim Shalom. So that's the last bracha. Good. That's the structure of the Shmona Esrei Musaf on Rosh Hashanah, Divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri on the first white line. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. What we see from his opinion is, well, two things to bear in mind right now. Number one, the bracha of Malchios, you have Malchios and Chonos and Shofars. According to him, the bracha of Malchios does not stand on its own. It is combined with Kedushas Hashem, the third bracha of the Shmona Esrei, Atar Kadosh Mekadosh, combined. And also there's no shofar after Malchus, according to him. Kedushas Hayom stands on its own, so does Zichronos, so does shofars. That's the presentation of Yochanan Nuri. Comes Rabbi Akiva, says as follows, Amar lo, Reish Ayin stands for Rabbi Akiva. Amar lo, Rabbi Akiva, Im eino tokeo l'malchios, lama hu maskir. According to you, my friend of Yochanan Nuri, my colleague, there's no shofar, according to you, after Malchios, as we saw, right? Because Malchios with Yochanan Nuri combined with Kedushas Hashem, there was no shofar. Then it was Kedushas Hayom. a special Yontif bracha, shofar, zichonos, shofar. But no shofar after Malchios. The Akiva said, well, if you're not going to blow the shofar after Malchios, lama humazgu, why bother saying it at all? Very strange question, but that's what he asked. I said, there's a puzzling line. Lama humazgu. Okay, it says, therefore, I think you're wrong. Ella, here's the proper order. Omer avos. Good, we agree on that. We begin with the bracha of avos. Alkei Avraham, Alkei Yitzchak, Alkei Yaakov, etc. Bracha Tzer Magen Avraham. Good. Ugvuros ato gibor le'olam Hashem and the Michaya Mason. Ukedusha is Hashem and Kedusha Hashem, regular Kedusha Hashem ato Kadosh Shishim Kadosh etc. Then he says v'kolel Malchios im Kedusha Hayom. Malchios is combined not with Kedusha Hashem, like Rabbi Yochanan Menuri claimed, but with Kedusha Hayom, with the bracha, the regular Yontif bracha, right? The Yontif bracha that we say. You know, similar to what we say at the Maariv of Shacharis and Mincha. It's a little different in Musaf because you mentioned the Karbonas, but there are regular Yontif Bracha, which ends Mekadesh Yisrael V'Yom HaZikron, says Rabbi Akiva, Malchios is inserted there, in that Bracha. That's where Malchios is found. Okay? And V'Tokeya. You blow Shofar after that point. So it is Tkiyah Shofar after Malchios. Then, Zichronos V'Tokeya. Shofar is V'Tokeya. V'Omer Avod V'Odah V'Rechaz Kanon. The last three Brachas the same. So there you have Rabbi Akiva. There you have Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yochanan Menuri. Two aspects of the machlokas of the dispute, which I'd like to focus on for today. One, where do you combine Malchios? According to Rabbi Yochanan Menuri, you combine Malchios with Kedusha Hashem with Ato Kadosh. And according to Rabbi Akiva, you combine with Kedusha Yom. And number two, a corollary of that, according to Rabbi Yochanan Menuri, there is no Tekiah Shofar following Malchios, because it's combined with Kedushas Hashem, and according to Bikiva, it is Tekiah Shofar after Malchus, because it's combined with Kedushas Hayom. That's the mission, that's the dispute. Obviously, there's some things we need to figure out what's going on here exactly. What is this strange comment that Bikiva says, well, according to you, if you're not going to blow Shofar after Malchus, why bother saying it at all? So the Gemara jumps on that immediately. Okay, on the fourth line of the page, where the Gemara begins, we'll read just a couple of lines. That's a quote. It's just a direct quote from the Mishnah. So Gemara asks, Lomo hu maskir, why do you say it? What kind of question is that? Lomo hu maskir, Rachmona amar itka. The Torah says to say it. That's why in Rosh Hashanah we say Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros. What do you mean, why? If you're not going to blow Shofar, why bother with saying it at all? So Gemara says, what are you talking about? Why bother? Because it's a din. You're supposed to say Malchus and Rosh Hashanah. That's why. What kind of question is that? Now, again, as a side point, you know, when it says Rachmana, Rachmana means the merciful one, because Baruch Hu, the Torah. So that's a question. Does the Torah actually say to recite Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofars? That's a dispute. Okay, whether the recitation of Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofars, that's Midoraisa or Midrabbanan. We assume usually it's Midrabbanan. Okay? In fact, but that doesn't bother me so much, because sometimes the Gemara will use an expression, like someone saying, oh, the Torah says you're not allowed to turn on light on Shabbos. Well, the Torah doesn't say that. Right? The Torah doesn't say about life, but we use that in a colloquial language, right? The Torah says, Aloch is, right? That's what it means. Rachmona Meitka doesn't necessarily have to mean, oh, it's in the Torah. It means that's the practice, that's the Aloch. But the truth is, there's a machlokas, just to digress for a moment, whether in fact Malchus Zichronos Shofros is the Raisa. Rashi seems to be of the opinion, as commented on the Chumash, that the recitation of Malchus Zichronos Shofros is in fact the Raisa. And the Ramban takes issue. There's another Gemara. The Gemara discussed an interesting case. Gemara said it's not imaginable today. But at one time, before printing, okay, so, you know, the Musaf Shmoneh Esrei on Rosh Hashanah, I said it's a rare Shmoneh Esrei, most people don't know by heart, okay? So we have Machzorim, okay, we even have printing, we can print it out, right, like here. We have no problem getting access to the text. But at one time, maybe they had in the whole shul one Machzor, one written, not printed, one written manuscript, or maybe there was somebody who did know it. And so basically, he said it out loud. That's how Chazoras Hashat started to begin with. The repetition honestly started to begin with. And certainly in Rosh Hashanah, people don't know it by heart. One person would say it out loud. Everybody listen. And that's how you would say. Okay? Otherwise, you couldn't do it. So be one person. Either one person had a written text, or perhaps he studied and memorized it, whatever. And that's what they would have. And everyone else in the shul would just listen and answer amen. Okay, today, it's a different thing. Today, we all have printing, so we can say it ourselves. So the Gemara discussed a scenario where a guy lived between two towns. One town, he heard, has a chazan with a machzor who's going to say, Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros. Okay? But he heard that they didn't have a shofar there. There's no shofar. The other town had a shofar, but no machzor, no one to say machzor and no shofars. And the two towns are too far apart to get together. He lives in the middle. I'm just painting the scenario. Where should he go? Should he go to the place they're going to say machzor and no and shofars? But not have a shofar. The Gemara says the question of even a suffix, okay, whatever. Or should he go to the place where they have the shofar? Or even a suffix, they have the shofar. Anyway, the Gemara concludes, go where they have the shofar. Because that's d'oraisa. That's a biblical requirement. Machzor and shofars is a rabbinic requirement. In fact, the implication more is even if there's a doubt, but the biblical requirement wins out, even if it's only a possibility. The Torah requirement wins out. Anyway, for our purposes, says the Ramban, checkmate. How can you claim that machzor and shofars and shofars is d'oraisa when the Gemara says shofar is d'oraisa, the man should go, the person should go to hear the shofar, and not machzor and shofars, that's only d'rabbanan. So how can you claim it's a checkmate? So,
if it was a year like this, would you go to the Malchus
to find a shofar? Yeah, probably, yeah, right. Probably, yeah, very good. Because this year's no shofar anyway, so it's a game. Yeah, I would say so, yes. Yeah. But anyway, so that seems to be, that's Ramban's proof. That obviously, says Ramban, obviously, Malchus to find a shofar is only Rabbanan. Those who study Gemara know that there's very rarely a checkmate. Right? You can always figure out a way out. So the answer to give for Rashi is what Rashi meant when he said Malchus Zechor Shofar Daraisa means with shofar. With shofar, Malchus Zechor Shofar Daraisa. Okay. Anyway, but either way, even if you don't go that far, the Gemara's kasha, the Gemara's attacking Rabbi Akiva because he asked a very strange question. Let's go back to our topic. Rabbi Akiva asked, well, if you're not going to say Malchus Zechor Shofar, I'm sorry, if you're not going to blow shofar after Malchus, why bother to say it? What do you mean, why bother? Because you're supposed to say it. That's why. It's one of the things we do on Rosh Hashanah. What kind of question is that? Now, before we go any further, we can ask, or should ask, a very simple question. Because both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri agreed that Malchus is combined with something. They argued about what it's combined with. It's combined with Kedushas Hashem, or it's combined with Kedushas Hayom. So we're entitled to ask a very simple question. Namely, what's the question?
Why doesn't it
stand out? Yeah, why combine it with anything? Right? What if they combine it? They both seem to agree, they both agree. They only argue which you combine. Do you combine with Kedusha Hashem or you combine with Kedusha Hayom? Why combine with anything? I mean, let Malchus be in its own. So there'll be 10 brachas in the Shemoneh Esrei, right? The first three usual. Then Kedusha Hayom, because it's Yotin. And then Malchus on Shofars and the last three brachas. So, I mean, it's very strange. So, that's a very good question. And but yet, it was a given that things are combined. So the answer of Salvechik suggested to that is based on the Gemara and Brachas, which wondered, you know, we said before there was Shmona Esrei. We saw 18 Brachas in the Shmona Esrei, right? So the Gemara asked, why 18? Why not 16? Why not 21? I mean, you know, I'm sure they could have come up with other Brachas to recite, or maybe combined differently. Well, what's magic about 18? So Gemara answers that there is a chapter in Tehillim. We know it. It's we say we put the Torah away on Shabbos. Havel Hashem and Eilim. Havel Hashem is also called Shabbos. That has the name of Hashem 18 times. And there's a general principle without the details now that the Chachamim, when they structured things, didn't just make things up out of the clear blue sky. They always tried to pattern things after an already existing model that's in the Torah, that's in Tanakh. So we have now a mukkar, a source, for the number 18, 18 times the name of Hashem in this chapter of Tehillim. What that chapter of Tehillim has to do with the Shemoneh Esrei, it's connected, not for us right now, but the bottom line is there was a chapter in Tehillim that has Hashem's name 18 times, so it's modeled after that. Then the Gemara asks, okay, so what about the seven on Shabbos Yom Tov? And we said before, Shabbos Yom Tov, the same usual first three, same usual last three, and the bracha of Kedusha Sayom in the middle, about Shabbos Yom Tov, seven altogether. Where does that come from? So they found the model for that. Okay? And then they asked, but we had 19th. So how to find in that paragraph that says, doesn't say the name of Hashem a 19th time, but it says Kale, which is another name of Hashem. Okay. But the Gemara asks, what about the seven of Rosh, I'm sorry, what about the nine of Rosh Hashanah? And the Gemara said, that is modeled after the tefillah of Chana. Chana, who was the mother of Shmuel Hanavi. That is the Haftorah on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. We'll read the Shabbos. If you remember, the Haftorah, the first day of Rosh Hashanah, is from the very beginning of Sefer Shmuel Aleph, right? Shmuel Aleph is not a Jewish term necessarily. It's really, there's no Shmuel Aleph and Shmuel Beis. One, if you count according to Chazal, you count Shmuel as one sefer. And when the Goyim divided up the Bibles, they made all the chapters on a small alpha and small base. I remember my grandfather was home once. He was a rabbi in upstate New York, and he had, this many, many years ago, a trip to Eretz Yisrael. So I went to Yerushalayim. They came to what's called Nevi Samuel, the Kever Shmuel Novi, which in those days was way outside Yerushalayim. Now it's up the block in Ramot. You know, if you've ever been there, it's right there. But anyway, so the guy was explaining, this is where Shmuel HaNavi was buried, and somebody asked, Shmuel Aleph or Shmuel Beis? But anyway, there's only one Shmuel. But anyway, the very beginning of Sefer Shmuel Aleph describes the birth. Chana first couldn't have any children, and she died and so on. So the end, the very end of the Haftorah is the Tefillah of Chana. And according to our tradition, it just tells us that it was on Rosh Hashanah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted her prayers and determined that she'd have a child. Thank God. Anyway, later grew up to be Shmuel HaNavi. If you look at the last couple of psukim of the Haftorah from this coming Shabbos, the first day of Rosh Hashanah, the Tefillah of Chana, she mentions the name of Hashem 9 times. And the Gemara says, based on the Tefillah of Chana, which again is connected to Rosh Hashanah, it's even Haftorah, so we have 9 brachos in Shmuel HaNavi. That's why you had 10 themes, but you only had 9 slots. Right? And then the 10 themes that we covered, the usual first three, the usual last three, Kedusha Yom for Yontif, Machas and Shofar, there's 10 themes. We only have 9 available slots because they wanted to model it after the pattern of Chatzilas Chana. Right? That's what Gemara says. And again, it's connected to Rosh Hashanah. It's Haftar of Rosh Hashanah. So they wanted to connect it to Tfilas Chana. They only had 9 slots. So Mela, they had to combine. So what do you combine? According to Yochanan ben Dori, you combine it with Kedusha Hashem. According to Rabbi Akiva, or Rabbi Paskin, you combine it with Kedusha Hayom. But again, what did Rabbi Akiva mean when he said, according to you, there's no shofar? Okay, according to you, there's no shofar. So why do you say Malchus? Someone says, what do you mean, why do you say Malchus? Because that's one of the things we have to do on Rosh Hashanah. You can argue about where to put it, but you got to say it. So Gemara gives an answer. And that's all we're going to read now. Gemara answers, no. What I meant was, Ella, what he meant was, Loma Eser, Lema Tesha. Why 10? Why say 10? Why not 9? The whole Ishtani, Ishtani, period. Because it's different, then it's different in other ways too. Let's look in Rashi for one moment. The first thin line towards the top. Lema teisha the whole ishni malchus mizichonos linyan tekiya shein token then bohen then ishtanu nami lefachos mehen. What it means is that there are psukim in malchus zichonos and shofros, as we'll see in a moment. And we've printed out the text of the Shmoneh Esrei here. Okay, switch it around. But you'll see the psukim in a moment. Malchus zichonos and shofros each have 10 psukim in it. 10 psukim. What Rabbi Akiva meant was, according to you, if you're not going to blow shofar in Malchus, why say 10 psukim? You should only say 9. Because once Malchus is different in that there's no tekiah shofar, then it also should be different. You should say less psukim. Period. End of Gemara. Is everybody satisfied with that? Gemara now goes on to something else. Very, very strange. What was the question? What was the answer? Well, it's only 9 psukim, 10 psukim. What's it got to do with anything? What's going on? So we need some understanding here. So if you flip the page to the back, you'll see the structure, actually, the text of the Musaf Shmoneh Esrei, Rosh Hashanah. So it's interesting, because we don't paskin like a Yochanan ben Dori, we paskin like a Rabbi Akiva. We don't combine Malchios with Kedushas Hashem. Although Rav Soloveitchik suggests he had an uncle named Rabbi Menachem Krakovsky. Rav Soloveitchik grew up in a town in Russia called Khaslavich, and the rabbi in Khaslavich was his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Before Rav Moshe Soloveitchik was the rabbi in Khaslavich, he had an uncle, Menachem Krakovsky, was the rabbi. So he wrote a sefer called Avodas HaMelech, the Zinei Avodas HaMelech, but he says the following. Take a look at the back page, the Bracha of Kedusha Hashem. Normally, as I said earlier, that is the shortest Bracha in the Shmoneh Esrei. All of a sudden, Rosh Hashanah, we add, remember that? All those extra phrases. What's that? So Rabbi Menachem Krakovsky suggested, that is a holdover from the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Because look at the last paragraph. The simlo, that's Malchios. The simlo, chatoshim levadecho, al kol masecho, bar tzion mishkan kodecho. Right? That's the simlo, that's Malchios. And of course, we end, instead of a kel hakaruv, say ha melech hakaruv. So he suggested that that was maybe a holdover from the old opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. We don't paskin like that today. We don't say the whole malchus, but a little bit of his presentation survived and made it to Shmoneh Esrei. It's a little difficult because we say that in Aliyah Musaf. We say it throughout Rosh Hashanah at Mincha and Amarev and Shabbos Mincha. We all say it in Yom Kippur. But okay, it's an interesting suggestion. But we paskin like Rabbi Akiva. So we take a look at the bracha of Kedushas Hayom. Begins like any other yantav. Second paragraph, right? And now look at the very end of that section called Kedushas Hayom. There's no bracha. Normally we end Baruchat Hashem Mekadosh Yisrael Vazmanim. We don't, because we can move right into Malchios. Now, what I'd like to do is what Soloveitchik explained, to understand the structure of Malchios in a way that hopefully we'll now be able to answer what the Gemara meant and also enhance our tefillah, our understanding of tefillah. I mean, there are loads of psukim. I give all these psukim, this pasuk, and all these psukim, what's going on here? So Soloveitchik said very simply, Malchios, Zichonos, and Shofars, each of the three sections, consists of three parts. Part one is what we'll call the statement of theme, saying what this bracha is about. Part two, proof texts from Tanakh, psukim, that support the theme. Part three is the concluding bracha preceded by request relating to that particular theme. Now let's look at it inside Malchios, Zichonos, and Shofars. The opening paragraph of Malchios we know as Aleinu. We say it at the end of davening three times a day. Aleinu originated here in the Muslim Shemoneh Esrei, not at the end of davening. That was a later addition, became part of davening. The original Aleinu, the text of the Muslim Shemoneh Esrei, was called Tekisa Debei Rav. It's from the yeshiva of Rav, Rav and Shmuel, Rav and Bubba. Anyway, so it starts Aleinu. Aleinu Shavechla, what's Aleinu about? You think about it for a moment. It's Malchios. It's David Hashem of the Melech. And the second paragraph, Al Kenekaveh, basically says everybody should see, right? It's basically Malchios. Aleinu is a statement of theme of Malchios. That's what it is. Now, the truth is, I remember, I still have the memory. My son's heard me say this. I still have the memory. It was obviously not long after I learned how to read Hebrew and Davin. So I don't know, first grade, whatever old you were, you know, and you learned how to read Hebrew. So I remember being Rosh Hashanah, and this is my great-grandfather, or my mother's grandfather, was a Rav in Atlantic City, before they had casinos. Anyway, mid-1960s. Anyway, it was an old-style shul, with the wooden pews in front, and the back was like a little slot you could put your siddur for the people sitting behind. I remember what I'm talking about, right? The older people remember. Anyway, I remember I'd learned how to daven a little bit, and I was saying the Musa Shemoneh Esrei Rosh Hashanah, reading as best I could, you know, a little kid, and all of a sudden there's Aleinu. And I thought I had a defective machzor, because we didn't take our three steps back. How could it be Aleinu? And I remember this. I closed the machzor, I put it in that little slot, I took out a different one and opened up. I had the same problem. Wow. And, you know, my father, I couldn't ask. They were all busy saying this. I couldn't ask anybody anything. I remember being extraordinarily frustrated. Like, what is going on here? But, you know, okay, later on you'll learn. But anyway, so Aleinu is a statement of theme. So that's part one. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech. He said, Melech Machem Lochem, Yikabul Chulam, Esol Machotechem. What we then do is we support the theme with psukim. Actually, nine psukim. Three from Torah, three from Ksuvim, three from Nevi'im. Now, some of you might strike this out of order, but that's because all the three psukim from Ksuvim are from Tehillim, which chronologically, written by David HaMelech, preceded the psukim from the later Nevi'im. So it's actually three psukim from Torah, three psukim from Ksuvim, three psukim from Nevi'im. So you can see them inside. We don't have to read them. But Kakasubi Sarasecha, Hashem Yimloch Leon Vaed, right? That's from the Torah. V'nemar, Lo Ibi Tov Yaakov Lo Amos, that's also in the Torah. And V'nemar, Ba'i Bishur Melech, that's also in the Torah. Then, Uvedivei Kotchecha Kasuv Leimor, that's Ksuvim, Ki Hashem Amlucha. Notice that every Pasuk is about a Melech, right? You have three Pasuk in the Torah, three Pasuk in Ksuvim, and then, Ba'i Deavarech, Hanavim, Kasuv Leimor, Kom Hashem Melech Yisov Agol, etc. Three Pasuk from the Vim about it. Those are your proof texts. Three from Torah, three from Ksuvim, again, Kastilim, and three from Nevi'im. So that's the structure there. And then, Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu, comes the concluding request relating to the theme. What's the request? Melech al kol ha'olam kulo b'chvadecha. Right? Reign over the whole world. Let everybody see that you're the Melech. Right? Yeda kol po ki'atof yalto. That's the request for Malchus. Hashem should reveal his Malchus over the whole world. Now then, at the very end, we passed Mekka B'Kiva, so we have to combine Malchus with Kedushas Hayom. So we go back to the Kedushas Hayom theme, which is we have every Shabbos done. Kachena mitzosecha, v'sencha kena mitzosecha, sabena mitzosecha. Right, that's the Kedushas Hayom part. And the Bracha incorporates both. Baruch Ato Hashem, look at the end there. Melech al kol ha'aretz, that's Malchus. Mekadesh Yisrael, v'yom ha'zikaron, that's the Kedushas Hayom. So that's the structure. Everyone see it? So now you see it like that, and when I first learned it, it made perfect sense. It's a beautiful, beautiful structure. Statement of theme, 9 proof psukim, 3 from Torah, 3 from Sukkim, 3 from Nevi'im, and then a concluding request relating to the theme, Melech al kol ha'aretz, and the bracha, bracha melech al ha'aretz. Let's look at Zichronos. We'll see the exact same pattern. Okay? Begins with a statement of theme. Ata zocher ma'aseolo. You remember everything that happened. Lifonecha nigel kol talumos. All hidden things are revealed before you. Vamon histros emerge. Everything hidden and buried since the days of the creation of the world. Ein shichol ifnechisherichodecha. You forget nothing. And so on. Right? And therefore, you're going to decide today. Zayom tchos v'zikon v'shon. Kichok v'sot sechah. Al medinos boyom. Eizel acherev. Eizel shalom. Right? The judgment, accountability. Which nations are going to go to war. Which nations have peace. And so on and so forth. Okay? And so therefore you have Zichronos, your statement of theme. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is aware and holds accountable everybody. Then you're going to have your 9 proof texts. Your 9 psukim, 3 from Torah, 3 from Ksuvim, 3 from Nevi'im, that support the theme. So we look in the second paragraph. And so on. And it quotes the psukim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembered Noah. That's in the Torah. Then psukim about HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembering us in Mitzrayim and redeeming us. That's in the Torah. Yeah, I'm sorry. So that's a very good question. The Gemara actually says you can pick anything you want. The Gemara says pick it. Sometimes they make certain changes, which maybe I'll get to or not. But theoretically speaking, as long as it fits with Rav Soloveitchik, I thought that certain. I don't mind Shul too. Make a few adjustments here and there. But I'm speaking more generally. But theoretically, you want to come up with a pasuk. There are guidelines. The Gemara says, for example, you don't pick a pasuk which has negative connotations, even though it might reflect the theme. Right, it was Puranos, and so on. So, but basically, this is our tradition, but it's not really stuck. We're not really, defined that it must be those psukim. Okay? Anyway, but you have these 3 psukim, and then, with the Kachachach Kosuv Leimor, right, this is one of the places where, in many places based on salvation, they make a certain change here. Okay, I do it myself, but that's about Zichronos. Anavim Kosuv Leimor, psukim about Zichronos, Kosh Baruch Hu remembers from the Navi, and so on. And then, at the end, our request relating to the theme. Remember us for good. Remember us for the positive. Right? They're talking about our remembering everything. So, right? And remember us for positive things. Okay? I should mention as an aside, I said before that Malchus is combined either with Kedush Hashem, according to B'Yechon Menuri, with Kedush Hayom, or Yipaskin. There was actually a third opinion. That's brought in the Gemara later on, about halfway down. If you look back on the page, you don't have to. Rav Shimon Gamliel, it's not in the Mishnah, it's in the Brisa. The quotes of Rav Shimon Gamliel had a third opinion. He didn't combine Malchus with anything. He combined Zichronos with Kedushas Hayom. Why? He said, because Kedushas Hayom is always the middle bracha, right? Shabbos. You have 7 brachas, so it's number 4. Yontif, so in Rav Shimon, you have 9 brachas, so where should Kedush Hayom be? Number 5, the middle one. So that middle one is the first 3, Malchus Zichronos. Zichronos is the middle one, number 5 out of 9. So Kedush Hayom is combined there. Okay, that's what he said. Again, we don't pass it like that either, but I will tell you, I came across this years ago. I was teaching at one time in a yeshiva deal in New Jersey, a lot of Syrians. So I looked at their machzor. I found out that, if you think about it, we think of Yontif. We never say Yalav V'Yavo in Musaf. Right? Yalav V'Yavo is only in Ma'ariv, Shachris, and Mincha. Muslim, we speak at the Kabbalah, we never say Yalav, we never say Yalav Yavam Muslim. Think about it. Okay? These Sfaradim, many of the Syrians, say Yalav Yavo as Muslim on Rosh Hashanah in Zichronos. It makes a lot of sense. Because what's Yalav Yavo? Zichron Rashiach Medevecha, Zichron Yishalayim, Zichron Kolam Chav, Zichron, right? Zichron Hashem fits in very well. And maybe that's a holdover from Shimon Gamliel's opinion, who put Kedushas Hayom, because that's what Yalav Yavo is, identifying the, I don't know. I didn't pursue the matter, but I thought it was an interesting idea. Anyway, getting back to our issue. So the concluding request in Zichronos is to remember it's for positive things, for good things. And the bracha ends, Baruch Atah Hashem Zocher Abris. Zocher Abris, right? So again, you had the same structure, the statement of theme, the proof text, and the concluding request, ending with the bracha. And finally, we'll look at Shofar, same thing. Statement of theme. Ato Nigleso, going back to the Sefer Yosef Albo, the Shofar represents divine revelation. So it says, Ato Nigleso, you revealed yourself at the time of Mamre Sinai, right? And to the front of your people and so on. Yeah? Mina Shamayim, I talked about it as the divine revelation at the time of our Sinai. And again, that's your statement of theme. It's very brief in Shofaris, but it's there. Then you have nine psukim again, about Shofar. Okay, nine psukim, three from Torah, three from Ksuvim, three from Nevi'im. Perhaps an extra puzzle, but not for now. And finally, again, what's the concluding theme? A concluding request, I mean, Elokeinu Elokei Vaseinu, Tekav Shofar Gadol Elokei Vaseinu. The request is, sound the shofar again, to the shofar of Mashiach, the shofar of our future redemption. Right? Tekav Shofar Gadol Elokei Vaseinu. And ends, Baruch Atah Hashem, Shomea Kol Tvuos, Amo Yisrael Barachmin. So now, at least we have all this, the Shemoneh Esrei is not all random. And that's why I said I hope it will enhance your appreciation of what the Shemoneh Esrei is. Because you have in each of the three sections, beautifully structured, Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofars, each one has a statement of theme, proof text, and the concluding request and bracha. There's one interesting thing that Salvechik pointed out. If you go back, notice, we'll work backwards. Notice in Shofars, I kept saying there are nine psukim, right? Three from Torah, three from Ksum, three from Nevi, but there is a tenth pasuk, a fourth one from the Torah. Look in the very end of Shofars. Elkeinu Kesenu Tekab Shofar Gadol Chereseinu. And a third line, it says, Ha'idei Moshe Avdecha Mi'chodecha Kamor, another pasuk from the Torah. Speaking about, in this case, the chatzotzos, the trumpets, relates to the shofar. The tenth pasuk is not really attached to the other nine. Because the tenth one is a pasuk backing up your request. Tekab, shofar, gadol, cheriseinu. And therefore we have another pasuk, an extra pasuk, a fourth one from the Torah, not attached to the other nine. Okay? It's in the request section. Elkeinu cheriseinu is the request. Same thing if you look back to the end of Zichronos, right? You turn the page, it's Elkeinu Elkeinu Zochenu Zikaru Tov L'fanecha, etc. Right? And you have a support pasuk on the top of the page there. V'kayim lono Hashem Elkeinu Sadova Shivtachtonu Masar Sechad Moshe Avdecha V'yichedah Gamor V'zuchayit Elohim B'ri Sishonim. Again, that's another pasuk of the Torah, but it's not attached to the other nine. The only problem is that in Malchios, it's not like that. Look at Malchios, the end of Malchios. Okay? Look at Elkeinu Elkeinu Zochenu. The pasuk appears with Torah Sva Kasum Lemor Shema Yisrael Hashem Elkeinu Hashem Echad. That's the tenth pasuk. It's from the Torah, and that doesn't bother me that it doesn't say Melech in that pasuk, because what is Shema? What do we call that in general? Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. That's certainly an appropriate pasuk for Malchus. That's the pasuk of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. So I have no problem including that pasuk, but there it comes right on the heels of the other nine psukim. And I just said before, Salvation said that the extra pasuk, that fourth pasuk from the Torah, tenth after the nine, okay, really is part of the request section. So Salvechik suggested, I don't know if the Chazanim will be that happy with it, but if Salvechik suggested, say, my shul on the Chazanim, I can do whatever I want, many Chazanim, when they come to that pasuk, it's a big crescendo. You know, V'soros ha'chazur l'mor, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And everyone says, ah, right? That's the big crescendo. So Salvechik thought that if you want to do the big crescendo, do it in the previous pasuk. And everyone go, ah, at that point, and then go, go right in. So it's more evident that that pasuk is attached to the request. I'm not telling any chazan what to do, okay? And whatever the minig in the shul is, the minig in the shul. Again, in my shul, I can do what I want. So that's the way I do it. Okay. Anyway, but the bottom line, whether you do it that way or not, it's not such a big deal. But if the point is that tenth pasuk, Rav said, was really an insert for the purpose of backing up the request that's going to follow. So the Elkeinu Elokeinu part. Okay. Okay. Huh.
2 days
of Rosh Hashanah, I can do both. Okay. Yeah. As I said, I'm not posturing here. But anyway, with all of this in mind, now, let's go back to our question. What does all this, now that we understand, hopefully, a little bit more about the structure of Machos, Echos, and Shofars, so Soloveitchik said, now we can understand the Gemara. Go back to the Gemara. What was the Bekiva's objection to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? He said, sir, if you're not going to blow Shofar after Malchios, why bother saying it? And the Gemara says, what do you mean, why bother saying it? Because you're supposed to say it on Rosh Hashanah, that's why. He said, no. What he meant was, why bother saying 10 psukim? You should only say 9. What's the idea? The 10th pasuk, we said, is part of the request. Even the Malchios, you know, however you divide it up, but it's part of the request. Why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri blow Shofar after Malchus? Look back in his original statement. He said, you combine Malchus with Kedushas Hashem and no Shofar. Then you have Kedushas Yom Shofar, Zichron Shofar, Shofar Shofar. But why won't he have to Kiyah Shofar after Malchus? So Soloveitchik suggested, because we have a practice in the Gemara, that we don't make requests in the first 3 brachas of the Shemona Esrei. Now there's some is Achrein L'chaim, Michamoch Avarach Na request, it's a praise. So Achrein L'chaim is a good question, but Lemaisa, as a general rule, we do not put requests in the first 3 brachas of the Shemona Esrei. Not on a weekday, not on Shabbat, not on Yom, no time. The requests are all in the middle of brachas. Okay? So that's a principle. Also in the last 3 brachas, we don't make requests. What is Shofar? So really this could be a shiur by itself, but Shofar to a great extent is a request. It's a form of tefillah. Rav Soloveitchik brought many proofs to the idea, and others too. It's not many proofs to the idea that Shofar is fundamentally a wordless prayer. Sometimes we're so frustrated, you ever have the expression you want to ask them something, you can't find the right words to say. So we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't know what to say. So it's almost like a cry. We cry out. Soloveitchik said this, we have a tradition to blow shofar at the end of Me'ilah, right? And Yom Kippur, the very end. What's that all about, with shofar? So point out that in the Yovel year, they would blow shofar, you know, it's 150 years, hard to understand. Why would you have a zecher for that? You know? So Soloveitchik said, because the whole day, davening a whole day, saying all these things, maybe I didn't express myself properly. Maybe a whole day of davening, maybe I didn't say the right words, so I scream out, help! I blow the shofar just in case, you know, I didn't have to say the right things. We reached out to the road. There are many proofs. The Gemara says that a shofar is bent. And our shofar is always bent. Why? The Gemara says it's like a person bent over in tefillah. And the truth of the matter is the very fact that we blow shofar during the Shemona Esrei, even if it's whether the silent Shemona Esrei or only the repetition, whatever, we don't take the lulav in the middle of the Shemona Esrei on Sukkot. We don't eat matzah on Pesach in the middle of the Shemona Esrei. I mean, it's a mitzvah, they'll do each other. So why do we blow shofar in the middle of Shemona Esrei? Why isn't it a hefsik? Why isn't it an interruption? The answer is because it's part of tefillah. It itself is a form of tefillah. It's a wordless request to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to cry to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what shofar is really about. So Mamela, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri held that we don't blow shofar in the first 3 brachas. According to me, okay, thematically, I should stress, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is very logical. I mean, to combine the bracha of Kedushas Hashem, and we'll finish with this, with Malchios, makes a lot of sense thematically, logically. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kato Kadosh, Shishimu HaKadosh, and you're also the Melech, Melech HaKadosh. Okay, thematically, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is right. It fits in better than with Kedushas Hayom, the way we do it. Kedushas Hayom is about the holiday. Malchios, okay, I mean, you can fit it in too, but certainly thematically, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's position makes a lot of sense. But he said, and I said, that's what you got to do, but you can't blow shofar then, because you can't make request in the first 3 brachas. So Seder Soloveitchik, that's what the Kiva said. If so, then you also shouldn't say that 10th pasuk. Because the 10th pasuk we said is what? That's part of the request. So that's what the Kiva meant. Lema Teisha, don't say 10, say only 9 psukim according to you. Because 9 psukim, those are proof texts. But the extra pasuk is what? Is a request. Well, if you're not going to blow shofar because it's one of the first 3 brachas, we don't make requests in the first 3 brachas, according to you, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and could be he didn't. I don't know what he did. We don't have any records of what Yochanan ben Nuri's practice was. But Lamaisa, that's the Bekiva's objection. We say 10 psukim. Therefore, we should not combine Malchus Kedusha Hashem in the first three brachas, but rather say it with Kedushayom, like I say, and that's how we paskin, and yes, have shofar afterwards. Mamela, that's Rav Soloveitchik worked out the Gemara. That was Rav Akiva's objection, as I say, as you know, we paskin like Rav Akiva, and we combine Kedushas Malchios with Kedushas Hayom, okay, and we do blow shofar again, whether only in the repetition, it sounds like it's also different minhagim. We do say Tkir shofar after Malchios, because that's part of our tefillah. We call out the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and we'll just conclude by noting that Gemara tells us in one place that unfortunately Shari Tefillah Ninalu, the gates of Tefillah to a certain extent were closed when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. But Shari Demos, the gates of tears, remain open. So Rosh Tkiya Shofar, the Yom Tshua Yelachem, it's a pasuk one of Psukim we read from the Parsha Pinchas and the Maftar and Yom Kippur, on Rosh Hashanah, I mean, the Yom Tshua Yelachem is translated Yom Yevava. And Yevava means crying, wailing. Okay? But the Abbe Beim Sisera, right? Yevava, it's crying. What Shofar does, and that's another reason it's part of the Shemona Esrei, is because it elevates our tefillah from the Demos, from Shari Tefillah. We need to penetrate Shari Tefillah to Shari Demos. So it enhances our tefillah. The shofar enhances our tefillah. It makes it a yevava. It makes it, more like crying, not just tefillah, quote unquote, just tefillah. It's a higher level, an enhanced level of tefillah. We're able to do that, then we have a greater chance that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accept our tefillahs. I hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accept all of our tefillahs and bless us all with the Ksivah Simatova. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day.